WDEE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Former Trump White House strategist Steve Bannon reports to prison today on his contempt of Congress conviction. He is not going quietly.
Steve Bannon says he expects to see a landslide win for Republicans this November, telling ABC's This Week.
We have a 100% certainty we can beat Biden and beat him big. Take the Senate and pick up seats in the House.
Last week, the Supreme Court denied Bannon's request to remain free while he appeals that conviction. He's been sentenced to 4 months in prison. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The Supreme Court today likely to rule on former President Trump's immunity claim and the January 6th attempted insurrection. Downgraded to Category 3, Hurricane Beryl is closing in on the Southeast Caribbean, blowing at 120 miles an hour. Meteorologists call Beryl extremely dangerous. North Korea test-fired two missiles. South Korea says one made it to the Sea of Japan. The other crashed near Pyongyang. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave died unexpectedly on Friday. Delagrave was first elected in 2015. County Board Chair Tom Kramer will serve as the acting county executive until the position is filled. Delagrave was born and raised in Racine County and lived in the area his entire life. Milwaukee leaders are calling for an end to gun violence after 2 days of multiple shootings. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman spoke at a press conference Thursday.
And we as a community need to step up and say, enough! Enough! Show our young ones how to resolve these issues in a productive way. Do something!
15 people were shot in Milwaukee on Wednesday and Thursday. A man, a pregnant woman, and a one-year-old baby were killed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers head to Colorado. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The first place Brewers open a four-game series tonight against the Rockies at Coors Field in Denver. Milwaukee with a 7-1 win over the Cubs thanks to another grand slam by Bryce Turang. How have the Brewers been able to tie a major league record with five grand slams in just eight games? Manager Pat Murphy.
That's a secret plan how to hit homers with the bases loaded. We bought it. It was a recipe online and got it.
Meanwhile, the Cubs losing their seventh consecutive series on the road. Craig Counsell, Astros starter Kyle Hendricks, looked overwhelmed, giving up a home run to Yelich and a grand slam to Turang in the fourth.
It was a little bit, right? Look, we can still get out of that inning, too. And it's a 3-1 game, and he made some pitches, and they put him over the fence.
NBA Paul George has told the Clippers he'll not return. He might be headed to Philadelphia. Meanwhile, there's been a rumor for weeks the Bucks were shopping 36-year-old Brook Lopez around, but so far, no new developments. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, it's Motown Monday, and I'll be joined by South Carolina Congressman Jim Clyburn. We'll discuss some of the issues that are impacting you and I every day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We have thunderstorms with heavy rain possible late tonight, tomorrow, and especially tomorrow night. We're talking 1 to 2 inches or more of rain by the time everything winds down late tomorrow night. Today's looking good, though. Sunny, 74. Storms late tonight, tomorrow, with a high tomorrow near 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
I'm calling it now before the opinion actually drops. On Monday, the Supreme Court is going to decide that in some situations, American presidents are kings. There's no better place to hear the breakdown.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Well, the weather keeps driving us crazy here in Wisconsin, getting ready for the 4th of July celebrations, and I'm afraid there's rain in the forecast. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke right here on the Midwest Farm Report. Boy, the weekend was gorgeous, though, wasn't it? Sure hope you got a chance to enjoy every ounce of it, because beginning today, the weather starts changing. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist is on the way with more details. What I can tell you is today, we've got a pretty good chance of sunshine. Daytime temperatures today, pretty comfortable, probably in the mid to upper 70s. But then the rain starts to roll in as soon as this afternoon. Then in the evening hours, depending on where you are, La Crosse, Madison, even Milwaukee, you've got a slight chance of showers overnight into Tuesday morning. Showers and thunderstorms possible tomorrow, and some of it could bring some fairly measurable rainfall amounts. Tuesday night, start clearing off. Wednesday, another chance of thunderstorms in the morning, but then we should start clearing out. Independence Day, it's about a 50-50 toss-up right now. Like I said, Stumacher Ag Meteorologist, he's got the weather details on the way. We're talking about a couple different facets of Wisconsin food and fiber for you this morning. Did you ever stop and take a look at your medications? Pill form specifically. Did you know that the coating on the outside of many of your pills comes from the dairy industry? One dairy company in Muscadet is trying to capitalize on that thin fragment of a market for premium prices on their milk. Arbor Schlimgen's got that story for you this morning. And Charity Seebecker also stepping in. Last week was the Sand County Foundation's national meeting in Madison. She caught up with our Wisconsin Leopold Conservation Award winner from Waupaca, who says seeing is believing. And that's one tool he uses to try to help young farmers understand the benefits of conservation. It's all on the way for your Monday.
Rural Strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer a competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
I'm Bob Bosol from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. And in Wisconsin, we do need barns to raise our cattle and milk our cows because of the weather. But in Big Sky Country in Montana, the cattle are raised under that big sky. One of those new ranchers to Montana is Steve Rooney from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Rooney Grain and, of course, Rooney Beef. And Steve has been a longtime admirer of the West, and he is now at White Sulphur Springs, Montana, on the Camas Creek Ranch. And Steve said the West has always appealed to him, and he thinks he can produce a lot of good cattle in Montana.
Well, Bob, we've been out west here for going on about 12 years now, and this is our third different ranch. We were been in search of a ranch that was a little more production oriented, was better suited for the cattle, and also we were looking for something that would had pretty good hunting.
Steve, you mentioned you wanted to find one that was more production oriented.
Yep.
You raise cattle here, and most people think out in the West you just turn cattle out on pasture and produce them. But production-oriented, what does this ranch give you as far as production is concerned? You mentioned the irrigation. Yeah. What does this do for you?
Well, here we're rigged up. We're going to have about 1,400 acres under pivot irrigation, and that'll allow us to raise enough forage and some small grains to winter these cattle, and it'll also give us some grain to raise these young stock and maybe even finish a few cattle here. But the plan is to send the bulk of these calves back to Wisconsin, and we'll finish them there and hopefully get an opportunity to run some of them through my son Jake and Jeff Ancheck's meat processing plant in Elmina. And then whatever we don't sell through them, we'll just go to market. But like I say, it's got a real huge hay base here, so we'll run somewhere between 1,800 and 2,000 cows here. And then, we'll raise enough replacement heifers to keep our cow herd up. And then we're also intending to sell some bulls through this place every year. So we'll keep our bulls here and raise them in some big lots, and then raise the replacement heifers too with the feed we make.
We know in the West, the last few years, it's been dry. Water is a premium, especially in this part of the country. You get not much rain. Yeah. But you were showing us you got some natural water. I mean, you got surrounding mountains. Talk about the water system you've got here and how valuable that is and what you're trying to do, raise it some alfalfa and some other triticale. You're going to put some of that in. I want to ask you about the why and what you expect out of that. But that's this water situation.
You know, they always say in the West, water's king. And fortunately for us, this ranch is very well watered. We've got we got about 8 miles of Camas Creek that comes through here. And then, like Bob said, we're fortunate enough to be surrounded by the mountains here. And so we're living off of snow runoff out of these mountains, that a lot of it ends up in Camas Creek. And then we've got the Doggett Reservoir, and we've got the Ayers Reservoir, where we're able to capture some of this runoff water, and then we'll use that in our second cutting of alfalfa after our snow melt kind of comes to an end, midsummer sometime. So, and then we're also fortunate to have quite a bit of spring water on this place, so we feel like it's very well watered, and that's kind of what makes these ranches in the West. So,
what about water rights? We always hear about that in the West too, water rights to use these irrigation systems. What kind of, for lack of a better way to say it, what kind of hoops do you have to jump through to make sure that what you're using is okay?
Well, the state governs the water rights. So all of these ranches have adjudicated water rights. And so it depends upon how senior your rights are as far as it goes as how you take the water. And this ranch is very senior on the water rights. So we should always have water here. So it's a state-governed process. When we bought the place, the water rights were transferred to us, and they remain senior just like they've always been.
And we talk about ranches in the West, too, and you see cattle, and think, boy, they got a lot of land out there. And you talk, depending on where you are in Montana, this is a different climate, different topsoil. What kind of stocking rates with the water you have and the grass you can grow and the alfalfa you can grow, what kind of stocking rates do you expect to have? I know you're going to learn this ranch as you own it more and more.
We're somewhere around 20 to 25 acres of cow-calf pair, depending upon what part of the ranch you're on. But I think that's a pretty good place to start. You know, the weather people will tell you we get somewhere around 17 inches of annual precipitation here. So depending upon where you're at in Montana, you can get down as low as 10 and probably, I don't know what the top is, maybe upper 20s.
Thank God for runoff, huh?
Exactly. It's pretty big premium to have water and good water rights, or it just increases your productivity on these places.
And as we're driving around a ranch, something you're kind of excited about, I think, is this triticale you're going to incorporate. How'd you get into that, and what do you expect that to offer you?
You know, working with the local agronomy people here, they're telling me as we transition out of these old alfalfa crops, we got to go into a couple years of small grain before going back into alfalfa. So one way for us to be able to transition out of the alfalfa is with this triticale, and that'll allow us to raise some pretty good forage
should expect somewhere 4 to 5 ton to acre on it. And we'll get a couple years of that, and then we'll go back into seed down with alfalfa and probably use oats as a nurse crop. Kind of expect these hay stands the last 6 to 8 years out here.
As you look at the cows, because and the beef operation that you're going to have, we know the black cows that we see along Highway 53 up there in Chippewa. What's going to be the makeup of the herd? Is that going to be what we're going to see here? Because you still got a few leftover Herefords from the previous owners. What's the transition going to be?
We will transition back to primarily all black Angus cows. You know, we'll take us a couple years to work some of these others out of there. And some of the cows we brought from Colorado are Angus Sim Cross. So we will be working on transitioning back to primarily an Angus-based cow herd.
Back home on the dairies, we need a lot of help. Out here, you're talking 40, 50,000 acres. You're working with cows out on pasture. What kind of staff do you have? What kind of expertise do these people out here have to have working on the range, the open range? What are you looking for?
Well, we got a variety of talents, I would say, here. You know, we got a couple guys that primarily focus in the summers on irrigation. We got some gals that work here that work with the animals a lot, and they do a lot of the pasture moving. So, you know, we got a lot of cows. We'll run about 6 or 7 different groups of cows through the summer, so they've got to be moved periodically. We got a lot of haying to do. We make around 5,000 tons of hay here in the summer. So everybody's pretty well involved at the time when we're making hay. So we've got a good mix. You know, our ranch manager is a big horse guy, so he's involved and does a lot of the cow moving and work with the horse and his dogs. So I'd say we got a pretty good blend of people, and it takes about 8 people through the summer and probably 4 to 6 in the winter to keep this place rolling.
What kind of cow management differences are there between Wisconsin and what you have here as far as health, as far as growth expectations and things like that?
Prior to us coming, they were more of a, you know, they were just running range cows, bull breeding everything, kind of a raising a real hardy type of cow that can make it in this country. And really the only thing that will change would be we're going to add a little artificial insemination, and we'll be doing some embryo transfer work for our bull program. Other than that, the intentions are to keep things pretty similar to what they've had.
So not nearly as many barns, but many more cattle, as Steve Rooney raises cattle now in the Camas Creek Ranch near White Sulphur Springs, Montana. From the ranch in Montana, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Representative Mark Pocan joins us to talk about National Postal Workers Day, and we'll hear from Dean Muller with the Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. News from the Center, WRCE.
We're celebrating it. Stu Muck, Ag Meteorologist, joining us for your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. So you were exactly right with your comments on Friday, Stu. We could not have had a better weekend weather-wise around Wisconsin. It was fantastic. A lot of folks capitalized on getting some outdoor tasks done. The grass got cut, the shrubs got sheared, and the hay got cut, too.
Man, the hay semis and equipment ran past my place all weekend long. Yeah, it's just that time.
It's, it puts a smile on your face because we know that first cutting was such a challenge with all the rain. So whether you're wrapping up first or getting into second, yeah, the weather was ideal for that. I am a little, let's call me skeptical about what we've got coming up later this week, though. Today it feels comfortable outside.
Oh, yeah, great way to start the week. Sunshine, nice temperatures, but there's a low-pressure system out just west of the Dakotas this morning. There's some rain in northwest and north-central North Dakota. A little scattered rain far northern Minnesota. More concerning is the rain in southern parts of Nebraska, eastern parts of Kansas. It's the unfortunate part as we head toward the holiday, but also as we try to get more hay made and things like that, and after all of the wet we've had, that a stronger low is going to build in from the west. And for most of us, it means some rain chance building in sometime late tonight or into very, very early Tuesday, and more likely showers and even some thunderstorms Tuesday and Tuesday night. The chance for localized heavy rains, we don't want to talk about it, looks to be greater in southern Wisconsin as we head through Tuesday. So unfortunately, we're going to talk about some larger amounts of rain, a possibility later Tuesday into Tuesday night. Already by Wednesday, that system clears out. That's fantastic. I know there's fireworks Thursday night and on toward the weekend as well. Unfortunately, already by late Thursday or Thursday night, that next chance of rain could edge back in. More shower and thunderstorm chance around that time as well. I'll have a look at that forecast right after this.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, the Compure Financial Ag Weather Forecast is for a sunny Monday. Still a great day. We'll make more hay, no doubt, as we make our way into the low and mid-70s. Winds become more southeast. They'll pick up a little 5 to 10. But overnight, mostly cloudy. Showers develop first in the west. They may even do it by this evening in far western Wisconsin. More likely overnight than on toward early tomorrow as we head east. Temps overnight, upper 50s and low 60s. Southeast winds a little stronger, up to 15. Mostly cloudy. Showers, maybe some thunderstorm development a bit later Tuesday as well. Upper 70s. South winds 5 to 15, gusting up near 30. Rain more likely Tuesday night when it could really start to add up. By Wednesday, back to sunny skies, but up in the low 80s, Pam. West winds at 5 to 10. Unfortunately, Tuesday, especially Tuesday night, an inch or more could certainly be a possibility, especially in the south.
Oh, You just...
Yeah, I know.
An inch or more?
Yeah. It looks like we're in that line. Southern Wisconsin, especially northern Illinois. That could be one or two down on the border and hopefully less further north.
That's enough from you this morning. I got to take that a little bits at a time. Stumach Ag Meteorologist with our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Visit their website, compure.com, for more.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
Attention Badger fans, the countdown to kickoff is on. Get ready for Wisconsin football this fall as single game tickets are now available with select games starting at just $35. Don't miss out on big Badger matchups including Oregon and Penn State, all on the home turf. Secure your seats today and experience the excitement and energy of Badger football at Camp Randall Stadium this season. For more information on single game tickets, call 1-800-GO-BADGERS or visit uwbadgers.com. That's uwbadgers.com.
I'm Sawyer. And I'm Shannon. Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about a couple of things to keep in mind when you're between jobs or when money is scarce. Number one is a reminder that most of us are already tracking. As best you can, only use credit in emergencies. You know, like a medical emergency or when your only car breaks down. Try your best not to use them for everyday type expenses. That could cost you a lot more over time. Now, number two, if you know you're going to have a hard time paying your creditors, talk to them right away. You know, have those conversations before you fall behind on your bills. They might accept a partial payment. They might be willing to work out some other arrangement with you while you're in a tough spot. And yeah, nobody likes having those conversations, but it's better than the stress of avoiding creditors later. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Former Trump White House strategist Steve Bannon reports to prison today on his contempt of Congress conviction. He is not going quietly.
Steve Bannon says he expects to see a landslide win for Republicans this November, telling ABC's This Week.
We have a 100% certainty we can beat Biden and beat him big. Take the Senate and pick up seats in the House.
Last week, the Supreme Court denied Bannon's request to remain free while he appeals that conviction. He's been sentenced to 4 months in prison. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The Supreme Court today likely to rule on former President Trump's immunity claim and the January 6th attempted insurrection. Downgraded to Category 3, Hurricane Beryl is closing in on the Southeast Caribbean, blowing at 120 miles an hour. Meteorologists call Beryl extremely dangerous. North Korea test-fired two missiles. South Korea says one made it to the Sea of Japan. The other crashed near Pyongyang. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave died unexpectedly on Friday. Delagrave was first elected in 2015. County Board Chair Tom Kramer will serve as the acting county executive until the position is filled. Delagrave was born and raised in Racine County and lived in the area his entire life. Milwaukee leaders are calling for an end to gun violence after 2 days of multiple shootings. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman spoke at a press conference Thursday.
And we as a community need to step up and say, enough! Enough! Show our young ones how to resolve these issues in a productive way. Do something!
15 people were shot in Milwaukee on Wednesday and Thursday. A man, a pregnant woman, and a one-year-old baby were killed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers head to Colorado. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The first place Brewers open a four-game series tonight against the Rockies at Coors Field in Denver. Milwaukee with a 7-1 win over the Cubs thanks to another grand slam by Bryce Turang. How have the Brewers been able to tie a major league record with five grand slams in just eight games? Manager Pat Murphy.
It's a secret plan how to hit homers with the bases loaded. We bought it. It was a recipe online and got it.
Meanwhile, the Cubs losing their seventh consecutive series on the road. Craig Counsell, asked if starter Kyle Hendricks looked overwhelmed, giving up a home run to Yelich and a grand slam to Turang in the fourth.
Yeah, it was a little bit, right? Look, we can still get out of that inning, too. And it's, you know, it's a 3-1 game, and he made some pitches, and they put him over the fence.
NBA Paul George has told the Clippers he'll not return. He might be headed to Philadelphia. Meanwhile, there's been a rumor for weeks the Bucks were shopping 36-year-old Brooke Lopez around, but so far, no new developments. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, DJ Olbrus joins me to talk about Riverfest Lacrosse. And from the Green Bay Children's Museum, Heather Heil is in studio to talk 4th of July in Green Bay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have thunderstorms with heavy rain possible late tonight, tomorrow, and especially tomorrow night. We're talking 1 to 2 inches or more of rain by the time everything winds down late tomorrow night. Today's looking good, though. Sunny, 74. Storms late tonight, tomorrow, with a high tomorrow near 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A 2023 decision in an Arkansas redistricting case found individual voters did not have a private right of action to challenge the maps. The state of Louisiana tried the same tactic in its chaotic gerrymandering case, but was refused on June 24th. It appears to be the latest legal strategy to dismantle the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Defying precedent, the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals held in a 2023 Arkansas racial gerrymandering case that individual voters do not have a private right of action under the VRA Section 2. It said only the U.S. Justice Department could bring such cases, despite individuals having filed 90% of previous challenges. Calling it radical, scholars expected it to be quickly overturned, but this January, the full 8th Circuit refused to rehear the case. Seeing an opening, Louisiana asked the full 5th Circuit to rehear its gerrymandering case on the same grounds, with 13 other Republican attorneys general urging a no private right of action decision. In a close vote Monday, the 5th Circuit refused that rehearing. For now, the 8th Circuit decision still only affects Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. But it's clear that private right of action is the new battleground and will almost certainly reach the U.S. Supreme Court. We've linked to more on the private right of action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Well, it looks like we've got a pretty decent start to the 1st of July. Today is going to be partly sunny, mid to upper 70s are daytime highs. And we should stay dry at least through the day today. But watch out for redeveloping showers that come in as soon as tonight into Tuesday morning. Hang around a little bit on Tuesday, maybe a little bit on Wednesday. Can't guarantee that it's going to be a dry 4th of July, depending on where you are in Wisconsin. I'm Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Welcome back. Hey, if you take any medication, even if it's an average daily vitamin, think about the dairy industry. Aubrey Schlimgen, our summer intern, is going to share with you a story on how one dairy operator in Muscadet has found the pharmaceutical industry as a very positive way to add value to the products he's producing in Muscadet. Stick around for that story. Glad we can share it with you. So today is the first day of July. What can I tell you? Well, on this day in 1959, the Circus World Museum opened in Baraboo. First time. It was deeded debt-free to the state, open to the public as a historical and educational facility on this day in 1959. On this day in 1967, sale of oleomargarine became legal. Yeah, margarine was not allowed in Wisconsin. Yellow margarine specifically. They didn't want to compete with our dairy industry. But on this day in 1967, the sale of oleomargarine became legal. Let's see what else I've got for you. On this day in 1908, the SOS adopted as the International Distress Signal. On this day in 1979, the Walkman made its appearance in stores. Can people even remember what a Walkman was? It was a portable audio cassette player. It was made by Sony, went on sale in Japan first, but it made it to the United States. That started on this day in 1979. Happy birthday this morning to actress Liv Tyler. Her dad is Steven Tyler. She is 47 years young. The bombshell Pamela Anderson, still looking pretty good at 57. And actor-comedian Dan Aykroyd turned 72 today. Happy birthday. And now you know, last week in Madison, conservation leaders from across the United States gathered together for the Sand County Foundation's national seminar that was held in Madison. Charity Seebecker made a visit to their conference and caught up with one of Wisconsin's conservation leaders. His name, Ron Brooks. He's a farmer in Waupaca and a previous Leopold Conservation Award winner. He tells Charity Seebecker that sometimes the most powerful message he can share with other farmers and landowners is simply showing them what he's done.
In an era where sustainable farming practices and mentorship are more crucial than ever, Brooks Farm stands out as a shining example of dedication and innovation. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And with a rich legacy and a forward-thinking approach, the Brooks family is not only transforming their land, but also inspiring a new generation of farmers. Farm CEO Ron Brooks explains how he got into sustainability and being a mentor.
I really got involved in conservation, I think about the time I started doing a lot of flying. As a pilot, I started to see the problems on the landscape more than I could just from the ground level. And now I actually take young people up after a rain event like we just had this weekend, and I call it following the water. And we'll get in the plane, and we will follow if they have a farm, or if they, you know, we'll take a variety of farms, take our no-till farm or a conventionally tilled farm, and we'll just follow the water. And it is eye-opening. You'll see, you know, from our fields, clean water coming off. If it does come off, typically it infiltrates and there's no water coming off. And then you'll see conventionally tilled soil and the topsoil that's leaving and the silt fans in the river. And it's really, really eye-opening for young people to see that and go, oh, yeah, I probably should take a look at adopting these practices.
So what inspired you then to get involved in mentoring beginning farmers?
When I started teaching as a flight instructor or as a scuba instructor, I really realized that I was learning just as much as I was teaching. And it forced me to really understand the subject more. I think it was good for me as well as the mentees or the people I was teaching, because I really had to relearn the subject and question myself, is that right? You know, and then to go back and make sure I had it right before I passed on that information. So I was mentored. I had some great mentors in my past, two old bachelor farmers that kind of took me under their wing and taught me conservation before conservation was cool. My father, my grandfather. And I took what they said, and, you know, just like Zoe has made a lot of changes that that I didn't make. My father actually asked me when I put our land, all of our farms, in conservation easements, he came storming into my room and asked me if I was absolutely crazy.
So what conservation practices do you guys have on your farm?
So everything from, we have 7 prairies that are in different stages of restoration, burning, developing. We have riparian buffers. We have harvestable buffers. We have cover crops. We've every mix in the book. We, you know, typically a 7 mix cover crop. Some interseeding. We might start trying some relay cropping. We have tried relay cropping in the past and probably just didn't do it right and it failed, but may experiment some more with that. Boy, I don't know. The list goes on and on. You know, when we try to sign up for additional practices, if we're looking at cost sharing, there just aren't any more left. So just about everything.
So what do you see are some of the biggest challenges that beginning farmers are facing today that you're helping them to get over that hurdle?
The admission price. You know, when we start looking at land prices, $10,000 to $20,000, when we start looking at just the opportunities that are there and what the cost of admission is, that's tough. And the learning curve has gotten pretty steep. The margins are so razor thin that there's just not a lot of room to make mistakes. And that's where having a mentor really becomes important. If I can prevent somebody from making the mistakes I made, especially with these razor thin margins, maybe that's the difference between them failing and succeeding in the business.
That's Ron Brooks of Brooks Farm in Waupaca along with us. Whether it's mentoring the next generation or implementing new practices on your own farm, we all have a role to play in ensuring a sustainable future. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lapenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
On Friday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture released their prospective planting estimates. These are the numbers they believe farmers planted as far as corn and soybeans, wheat, etc. for growing season 2024. And it looks like corn and soybeans are going in opposite directions this year. 3% lower on our estimated corn acres this year across the United States at 91.5 million acres. Soybeans going up 3% compared to last year at 86.1 million acres. The other numbers to pay attention to are how much grain farmers are currently storing. USDA estimates that the amount of corn on farm is up 37% compared to last year. Soybeans being stored on farm up 44% compared to last year. Markets are mixed in overnight electronic trade. December corn's down a penny and a half right now at 419. November soybeans are up just a half at 1104. July new crop wheat, that's up two and a half, 556 a bushel. Friday in Chicago, barrel and block cheese were both unchanged. The AA butter gained a penny and three quarters to close the week at 312 and a half per pound. The August Class 3 milk this morning is up 6, 2010 a hundredweight. September milk's up 13 at 2035 a hundredweight. Dairy producers were paid a little bit more for their milk in the month of May. According to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, the May all milk price in Wisconsin averaged $21.30 a hundredweight. That's about $1.83 per gallon at the farm gate for that raw milk. That price, $2.70 a hundredweight above the April pay price, $3.20 a hundredweight above what dairy farmers were paid for that milk May a year ago. There were three other states in the dairy producing group that were lower than Wisconsin. Kansas, $21.10 a hundredweight for their milk. California, $20.70 a hundredweight. And New Mexico, the lowest pay price in the nation, $20.50 a hundredweight. The highest pay areas, Georgia, $25.20 a hundredweight. Virginia, $25.10 a hundredweight, just so that you know. Now that we've kind of pivoted away from the June dairy celebrations, county fair activities are getting underway this week. Always want to remind you, even if you're traveling, check out what fairs are happening in your area. You can go to wifairs.com and see a complete listing from across the state right there. This week, we're looking forward to the kickoff of the Stoughton Junior Fair at Mant Park in Stoughton. Also, the Marquette County Fair welcomes you to their activities in Westfield. Again, all kinds of activities happening through the summer months. Find it all at wifairs.com. Coming up next, that pill you take every morning is connected to the dairy industry. How? Aubrey Schlimgen's got the story coming up next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE, and on the Civic Media app. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alma Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we take a look back at what happened over the weekend and get you prepared for July 4th. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
When it comes to Wisconsin's dairy industry, we produce a lot of different products. We've got butter. We've, of course, got cheese. We've got the fluid milk. And we've got byproducts from those industries. Some are a little tricky to handle, like whey. At one time, whey, which is the byproduct of cheesemaking, used to be land spread or fed to animals as a part of their nutrition. Today, it's a little bit more tricky, but one dairy producer in Muscadet has found a way to take that cast-off material and find a little extra revenue. And you might be surprised where it comes from. The pharmaceutical industry. Aubrey?
Scott Meister is the third-generation owner of Meister Cheese in Muscadet, Wisconsin. Right next door and conjoined with Meister Cheese is Muscadet Protein Products, which processes the leftover whey protein that is extracted from making the cheese. He tells us more about what Muscadet Protein Products is and how it's grown over the years.
Well, it's if you look back, the amazing thing is how it's transferred from being when we first started with the whey business, the whey protein concentrate was actually used largely in milk replacer for baby calves. And now that's come full circle and it's largely used in human applications. So I think that trend will continue to evolve and we hope to be part of that evolution.
So take us through now the environment of Muscadet Protein Products. When people think of Meister Cheese, they just think of the cheese plant itself and the products that you have here. But people don't realize, like me at first, I didn't even realize that Muscadet Protein Products are its own thing. So take us through the environment of Muscadet Protein Products and what you guys want that imagery around with that.
You know, that's a great question. Ironically, at one time, Muscadet Protein Products was kind of a regional processor of whey for so many little cheese factories here in southwest Wisconsin. So since the 80s, the amount of consolidation in the cheese business is, you know, it's been, it seems to grow more and more every year until finally there aren't any little cheese plants left. And we were almost left with a whey processing facility that didn't have any raw material. Until our own Meister Cheese Company really started growing in the early 2000s and 2010s. So we've transitioned from becoming a regional whey processor for small cheese producers to basically handling all of our own whey that we generate internally.
Okay, so with the future of Muscadet Protein Products, where do you see it going? Obviously, your son kind of has a role here with Meister's Cheese, so do you see somebody like kind of taking it over with the protein products? Do you see yourself maybe kind of taking a step back from this someday? What does that look like?
I mentioned how much our cheese plant has grown over the last 10 to 20 years, and that's been our focus to put our resources into our cheese company. I see that continuing for a few more years, but ultimately we'll need to refocus on the whey business, and I can foresee us adding capabilities to our whey products processing. So, you know, a small family company with limited resources, you kind of pick the low hanging fruit when you can. So Muscadet Protein will have its turn again in the future.
So how many people does it take to actually make the Muscadet Protein Products run? Like, take us through how many team members you have, how many people are working on the floor at Muscadet Protein Products. What is that like here?
Both of our plants run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, except for scheduled maintenance. And at the whey processing plant, it takes about 40 associates to keep that running 24/7. And our cheese plant, it takes about 60 or 70 employees to keep that plant running 24/7.
That sure is a lot of people. And what is the environment of the team here? What is the environment that you kind of set the tone for your employees, especially with Muscadet Protein Products? Because when people purchase a product, they want to know, you know, what's kind of going into their product as well. What's the environment like with that?
I mentioned I'm a third generation cheesemaker and my son is involved now. And we had our first grandchild. So we got generation 4 and generation 5 coming up. And we like to be a small town family employer. In fact, if you look at our hallway leading to our break room, you'll see a picture of every one of our associates on the wall. So we'd like to treat everyone like family.
That's fantastic. Anything else you could kind of tell us that when people think of Muscadet protein products that maybe they don't necessarily know right away off the bat? Take us a little bit through that of what people might not know when they first hear of Muscadet protein products.
Well, it's true. Not a lot of people spend a lot of time thinking about whey, in my opinion. So when we talk about what we do, they're somewhat amazed that all of this volume comes is left over from the cheese making process and that there's so much nutritional value left in the whey. As mentioned, the protein goes can go to diet drinks and pharmaceutical applications, and the lactose is used largely in infant formula, also in chocolates. Lactose is the carrier for medications. If you have a baby aspirin today, the carrier for that is going to be compressed lactose. So lots of unique applications for the whey product, byproduct of cheese making.
For generations, the Meister family has been groundbreaking in the sustainability of whey protein processing and hope to continue that drive into the future as cheese plants don't seem to be slowing down production anytime soon. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Aubrey Schlimgen.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. News from the Center, WRCE.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The odds of a new farm bill passing in 2024 are not looking great, as you'll hear today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
We were supposed to have a new farm bill in 2023. Now Washington insiders wonder if the bill won't pass until 2025. Julie McClure is with the Tory Advisory Group, a D.C. lobbying and consulting firm.
The House is operating under one of the slimmest majorities in the history of Congress. It's really hard to keep either caucus together on a vote for a bill as big as the farm bill. So it will be really difficult to pass the farm bill through the House if it doesn't have bipartisan support, especially with those tight margins.
McClure says a version of the farm bill was passed by the House Ag Committee, but Senate Democrats and Republicans are pretty divided over what they've seen so far.
This is the first $1 trillion farm bill. It's a very expensive piece of legislation. And so there's a really significant challenge in how do you fund this expensive piece of legislation and where does the cost come from? And are you going to reallocate funding within the farm bill to get it done?
McClure was moderating a webinar during which a couple of congressional staffers gave the bill a 60 to 70% chance of passing this year. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday for the Trump immunity ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll find out if Joe Biden's got SEAL Team 6 on speed dial.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM W.